His Radio Talk would like to thank McCravey, Newland, Sturkey, and Clarity Law Firm at McCraveyLaw.com for sponsoring this hour of Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin.
You're listening to His Radio Talk, and this is Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Our number is 888-660-9535, and here are your hosts, Austin Barker and Dr. Tony Dean.
Okay, happy Friday to you. It's backpatting day. Reach around, pat yourself on the back. You made it all the way to the weekend. All you got to do is get to 5 o'clock. Some of you have to get to 12 o'clock. And then the weekend lies before you. Looks like it could be a long weekend for a couple of reasons. One, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday for a lot of folks. And for those that don't have that holiday, they're going to have the snowpocalypse. So, this is Tony Beam, Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are equipping transformational leaders for the church and society. My co-host is Austin Barker.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Well, we still live in America as we're getting up this morning. Several things happened yesterday to derail, deflate, and hopefully, finally, drive the nail in the coffin of the Biden administration. The Supreme Court yesterday struck down the vaccine mandate. That is, what they actually did yesterday was uphold the stay. But that means no mandate. Corporations cannot force the vaccine on their employees. So we're going to look at that. We're going to talk a little bit about the decision, what it means and what it doesn't mean, because there's some confusion over it. So let's just take a look. This information, by the way, that I'm going to share with you comes from Harmeet Dhillon of the Dhillon Law Group. Harmeet Dhillon Law Firm was the lead firm that defended Daily Wire against the mandate. If you remember, Daily Wire is one of the first companies that filed a lawsuit to stop the mandate from going into place. So six justices. Now, this is a 6-3 decision. So you've got all the conservative justices plus John Roberts on the same page on this. You got five conservatives and Roberts, whatever he is. The only three that said, no, this mandate's a good thing, are Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer. And, of course, they all, from the arguments, we knew that this was the direction they were going to go. And basically, it was Sotomayor that grossly overstated the number of hospitalizations for children, the number of deaths for children. I mean, just lied about it. I mean, either or just made up the number out of whole cloth. And she was called on it. Washington Post gave her four Pinocchios, just like the Washington Post gave Joe Biden four Pinocchios for claiming that he was arrested during the civil rights protests when he was a teenager. He made that up out of whole cloth. You know, it fascinates me that full-grown adults that can, you know, have a job and go out on dates and everything can actually step up to a microphone and say something that's completely false and think that that can't be discovered in the world that we live in. I mean, somebody could pick up their phone, do a Google search, and discover that Joe Biden was never arrested. They could go back and talk to the people who were at the protest where Biden says he was arrested and discover that he was never arrested. So the Washington Post, the Washington Post has got to be heavily conflicted. Right? I mean, because they're left-leaning. There's no question about that. It's not like the Washington Post has suddenly become conservative. It's just somebody over there has decided, you know what? There's so much lies, so many lies coming out of this administration that we can't just be a shrill for them. So anyway, that was a good thing that that's what the Post said. Let's get back to this decision. They say that this is a stay, that it's appropriate concerning the OSHA workplace mandate. And then there was a concurring opinion that was issued by three justices, which this is interesting, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. The six used the narrowest avenue possible to say that the stay could be in place. So Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas said, you know what, we need to, which the justices can do this. You can offer a dissenting opinion, and you can offer a concurring opinion, which actually goes further than the majority goes. And that's what they did. They basically said, look, the concurring opinion said that OSHA never had the authority to do this, and that, in fact, back in December of 2021, that the Senate actually voted to disapprove of this action being taken by OSHA. And so, you know, you've got the administration thumbing its nose at the Senate and just basically saying, well, this is something we want to do, so we're going to do it anyway. OSHA clearly, according to the Supreme Court in this decision, and especially in this concurring decision, cannot authorize a vaccine mandate. It's unlike other occupational regulations because it can't be undone at the end of the workday, like taking off a hard hat. You know, OSHA can say, okay, well, you come into the workplace, you got to put on a hard hat. Well, when you leave, you can take it off. You don't have to wear it in the car. You don't have to wear it at home. You don't have to wear it to bed, in the shower. You know, so, but this mandate can't be, the vaccine can't be undone. So it's something that operates outside the workplace. And that's something that the concurring opinion really pounded.
Well, and underneath about. Of that, though, is the fact that the virus is something that is not an occupational safety hazard.
Right.
It is an everywhere safety hazard.
Yes, that's right. So it doesn't just happen in the workplace.
Right, right. Yep. So OSHA doesn't have jurisdiction over everywhere.
Well, and you're right. And the Supreme Court did say that. Concurring opinion was led by Gorsuch, joined by Thomas and Alito. It focused on the big question, which is who decides? They talk about something called the major questions test, which is a Supreme Court doctrine that basically says what can be done in administrative procedures. In other words, when different administrative agencies issue rulings, do they have, under the major questions test, can they point to a constitutional foundation for them being able to do that? So if Congress didn't clearly speak in assigning OSHA the power to issue a vaccine mandate, then the court is not going to allow the administration to make it up as they go. And so that's pretty much how that works. And by the way, 2 years ago, OSHA told a federal court that the OSHA Act does not authorize them to issue sweeping health standards that affect employees outside the workplace. So just 2 years ago, OSHA itself testified that they didn't have this power. And then all of a sudden, Biden comes in, and because his administration thinks they have absolute power, then they take it. And thankfully, as I said, this is still America. We have a Supreme Court that understands that our laws mean something, and you can't just line the bottom of the birdcage with the Constitution.
Amen.
Which is what these people want to do. Now, here's something that you're not going to like to hear. This ruling essentially only affects corporations that decided not to issue the or not to go along with the mandate. Because corporations that decide to mandate the vaccine, state and federal law allows them to do that. It just doesn't allow the state or the federal government to force them to do it. So these companies that have already instituted the mandate, they can keep it.
Because they're on their own recognizance.
That's right.
It's just that
it's
I mean,
up
they
to
were
them.
Using the pretext of saying, you know, this mandate is coming from the government, and we're going to get fined and all this. And,
right.
Well, now, there's no fine. There's no mandate from the government.
And their employees now are free to go work somewhere else. And I get, you know, somewhere where there's not a mandate. And I suppose they could bring lawsuits, particularly the ones who have been fired. Because if the corporation is on record saying we have to do this because the government said so, and now it's clear that they didn't have to do it because it's unconstitutional and somebody lost their job over it, I would think that could be a lawsuit. Don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't have a whole lot of expertise in that area. But this is great news. It's great news for the country. It's good news in that we still live in a country where laws mean something. And it also, quite frankly, is good news as we look forward to the decision on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. Because the questions, you know, we always say, well, you can't really telegraph what the court's going to do based on the way the questions go. Well, this time it was perfectly clear. The questions and the decision lined up perfectly. So it's possible, if the same holds for Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, that Roe versus Wade is either going to be greatly scaled back or done away with. So that gives us a little bit, gives me a little bit more optimism in that regard. Okay, the court did rule on one other thing. You know, the federal government can force healthcare workers to be vaccinated
in institutions where that accept federal money.
That accepts federal money, mm-hmm. Right? And that makes sense in some way, I guess, because when federal money is attached, the strings are attached with it, and that's long established that they can put requirements on how that money gets used. That's how they get around
it. And that was exactly what you said leading up to this decision. Right. You expected this. You expected exactly this cleavage between those two decisions.
I did, and I didn't know for sure, of course, but it was highly likely. When you listen to the arguments, it was highly likely. The conservative justices were not near as you could tell they were not opposed.
But even at that, this is what surprised me a little bit, was that Amy Coney Barrett still voted against the mandate for healthcare workers. So you have a 5-4 decision there where John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh joined the three liberal justices for a 5-4 majority. That's still the slimmest of majorities.
Well, and Amy Coney Barrett, and then in light of that, it's interesting to me that Amy Coney Barrett didn't join the concurring opinion by Alito and Gorsuch.
Right.
You know, and
Thomas.
Thomas. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, who knows these cats. Although
I think that's the big takeaway, isn't it? That who knows?
Well,
that these alliances are not falling down along predictable lines.
But the big takeaway is that this mandate is stayed, and that's gonna be the end of it.
Yeah,
they're not gonna. There's no way. I mean, when you hear what these justices wrote. I mean, if they want to go through and spend all this money and try to force the merits of the mandate, it's obvious the court's going to rule against them. So it would be foolish to continue.
I know you have more stories here, but I'm already asking the question: What's next for the Biden administration? Because you've already got Joe Manchin now and Kyrsten Sinema digging in their heels and saying we're not. And I know you want to talk.
I want to talk about that. So we'll talk about it when we come back, because we're out of time here.
You're listening to His Radio Talk, and this is Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Our number is 888-660-9535, and here are your hosts, Austin Barker and Dr. Tony Bean.
You know, the good news is that we've got NFL playoffs on this weekend, and there's 4 games on Sunday. 4. So just turn the fireplace on, get some hot chocolate, maybe some chips, if you can find any at the grocery store. I got the last loaf of bread at Ingles last night. The last loaf. And do you know why I got it? Because I walked past where the bread is supposed to be, and it was as bare as the surface of the moon, and somewhat cratered, by the way. Looks like there might have been evidence of violence as people were going for the last couple of loaves. So I said, well, so be it. I mean, we've got a little bit of bread. So I'm pushing the actually, I didn't have a buggy. I'm carrying this stuff in my hands. I always think I don't need a buggy. I'm only going to get one thing, and they end up, you know, carrying a bunch of stuff. So I walk past, and there's this thing in the middle of the aisle that's got like donuts and different kind of things like that. Somebody had just dropped a loaf of bread there on the top. It was sitting there all by itself. And I went, come to Papa. Now, when I picked it up, you know, there's probably going to be some changes that'll start to come over me when I eat it. Like, I'll probably go out and buy a Prius. I may start planting tomatoes in the backyard. I may start making soap, in the thing, because it's organic. And I have no idea what that means. I mean, it's gluten-free, organic. It may not even have any bread in the bread. I don't know, because it says there's no seed, no, whatever else. No nuts, no seeds. So is it the question becomes, did I get the last loaf of bread, or did I pick up something at the store that we haven't identified yet? So kind of like the lip fungus on Christmas Vacation. But anyway, we'll see.
It was the anyway that was really good. That was the best part of that whole rant.
So. Okay, great. Thank you.
These comments are the opinions of those who express them
that's
and do
exactly,
not necessarily reflect the opinions of the
and that
co-host,
the beginning
his sponsors.
Of that segment is exactly why they put that on there. It's why it's necessary. Okay. But Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. I mean, how much clearer can you be? I mean, both of them came out and doubled down and said no. And not only no, are we not going to vote to change the filibuster to do away with the filibuster, we're not going to vote to weaken the filibuster. So any of these half measures that would let you slip this through, we're not going to do that either. And the other thing, though, is that Biden is getting some major pushback on that speech he did in Atlanta. I mean, it was mean. It was way inaccurate. It was over the top. Even Chuck Schumer said, was it Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin? It might have been Durbin. Yeah, Durbin. Mm-hmm. Dick Durbin said, well, he might have gone a little too far. You know,
Did you see what Lindsey Graham said about him?
Yeah.
I think if I'm not wrong, and again, you hear so many people saying stuff, and so I think it was Lindsey Graham that says, I've known Joe Biden for years. I've been friendly with him for years. I did not recognize the person that was up there saying that stuff.
Well, it was bad. And, of course, Joe Biden didn't recognize the person who was up there saying that stuff because he referred to Kamala Harris as the president a couple of times as well. So, you know, how could it get any worse? I mean, he gets the lowest approval rating of his presidency this past week. He has a Supreme Court decision against him on his big, I'm going to, you know, shut down COVID approach. And his big initiative, which is the voting, he decides to pivot from Build a Better Biden Act to the let Biden take over the national election system. And they just flop, boom, thud, right on the floor. I don't know where I don't know what he does next. Where do you go from here? I mean, I think if he's smart, he talks to Republicans and says, okay, are there some things that we could agree on and get some legislation passed?
Give me a list of pieces of legislation that you want to see passed, and I'll pick the one that I agree with.
Well, either
that or...
that
we feel like we can have common ground on.
He could go back and he could, since he's the president, he can even make the suggestion. He can say, okay, yeah, here's a list of stuff. Is there anything here that you could do? Instead of having the Republicans submit it, let him submit it to them and see if there's something they can work together on. If not, there's nothing going to happen.
I have no optimism down that road. There's just looks
oh no
like...
no that I don't have any because the progressives would rip him to shreds, and they're being held hostage right now by a faction of the Democrat Party that America does not want. I mean, it's just clear, and they're again. It's a long time to November, and so I'm not going to sit here.
That's interesting because that's the same date that's hanging in my mind right now. Like a pinata is all that is. What's supposed to happen between January? That's 10 months. That's a political eternity.
It is.
And so, what in the world is going to happen in 10 months?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Because at this point, it's abundantly clear. I've not heard one person who doesn't believe that the Republicans are going to take the House and the Senate.
Yeah, well, you're looking at one. And
because
I'm not willing to say anything is for sure.
Right, but what I'm saying is that right now,
if the election was today, it'd be a wipeout.
Right.
But it's
40,
not
to the tune of 40 House seats.
Oh, at least. Yeah. It could be worse than Obama suffered in 2012.
Was it 42?
Yes, 40 something.
Yeah.
I was thinking 46, but it
might
not have been that big. But I mean, not only the House seats, but he lost there were 1,000 seats lost. And that, I mean, you count the House seats, but then you have to count all of the state legislatures where voters went in and just fully rejected the Obama agenda. And the same thing could happen here. It could. But I just, again, I don't, you know, inflation, if you get, the economy is actually, if you take inflation out of the economy is recovering. But that's like saying, you know, if John Wilkes Booth's gun hadn't been loaded when he pulled the trigger, then Lincoln would still be alive. So, not today, but he would have lived. It's kind of a moot point at this point. But it's true. Let's say inflation was not happening, then you've got an economy that's rocking along pretty good. You're not now. Yesterday, I thought this was fascinating because I heard a story yesterday. You know, Biden's out there talking about 6.4 million jobs that he's created since he became president. If you look, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, predicted that if nothing happens, there would be 6.1 to 6.4 million jobs added because of the turnaround from COVID. And so you could say that the Biden administration hasn't added a single job because you have to look at the baseline. Now, nobody's going to do that because right or wrong, the president gets credit for jobs added. He gets credit when people get laid off. So that's just the way politics works. And nobody is going to look at it in depth enough to care about what I just said, or very few people. But it's a true statement. If the prediction was the economy on its own without any meddling should add about 6.1, 6.2, and it does, which they were right on about what the economy would add, you have to ask the question, if the Biden administration hadn't pumped all this money into the economy and hadn't paid a bunch of people to stay home from work, what would the economy have done? How many jobs would have been added?
Labor force participation rate is a very, very important number to look at right now. And it always is. It's not right now. It's always been an important number to look at.
Right.
And it's deceptive, or it's at least misrepresentative of reality. That's the same thing as deceptive.
Right.
To cherry pick data points that make you look good, that cast you in a favorable light. And so if you say, yeah, unemployment's at record lows right now, well, guess what? So is the labor force participation rate.
Right. We're going to have two special guests today. Senator Josh Kimbrell will join us at 8:05 today. And then at 8:30, Sheila Miller is going to join us. She's an author. She's a pro-life advocate. She's written a very interesting book that I've read half of. I'll just be up front and tell you that I didn't get it finished this week because we've had some personal things going on, and it just didn't happen. But Sheila can talk about it. She can tell you about it. I read enough of it to know that I'm happy to have her on as a guest to talk about it. So we'll do that at 8:30. When we come back, we're going to talk about the collapse of cable news.
You're listening to His Radio Talk, and this is Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Our number is 888-660-9535, and here are your hosts, Austin Barker and Dr. Tony Bean.
Okay, what's going on with cable news? You know, some of the cable news stations are crashing like a stone. I'm talking dramatic stuff. And when I say they're crashing, I'm talking about with the demographic 18 to 49, because that's what all the advertisers care about. They want to reach 18 to 49. And in the 18 to 49 category, get this, CNN is down 90%. Yes, thank you. 90%. Over this time last year. So there's plenty of explanations for that. I mean, CNN's a garbage network, and everybody knows that. And their producers are being charged with sexual crimes. Their on-air talent are a bunch of corrupt people. Joy Reid, rumors are that Joy Reid's finally going to leave because her ratings are so abysmal that it's almost like what... You know, why put a camera on her? Nobody's looking. So you've got all of that going on right now at CNN. But to be fair, this is not just a CNN problem. Fox News, which has a much greater combined audience than CNN and MSNBC, and you could throw in a few other cable network numbers, they've got more than double CNN and MSNBC combined. But if you look at Fox News, they're down 34% over this time last year. That's significant. If CNN and MSNBC weren't down, that would be the headline. That would be the takeaway.
Right.
But, and this is interesting, MSNBC is only down 28%. So they're actually down less. Now, they started with a much less audience than Fox News.
If everybody lost the same number, number, the percentages would still be different, and it would be less for MSNBC.
That's
if everybody
right.
lost 100 grand, that would be like half of MSNBC's audience.
That's right. So MSNBC's not in a good place, and of course CNN's just a disaster. But the fact that Fox News is down 34%, now the question is, why is this happening? And I'm going to offer some explanations here. First of all, Donald Trump is gone. Donald Trump was a ratings explosion. People wanted to hear him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to, the left wanted to hate him. The right wanted to love him. And everybody wanted to see him. So it's kind of like, you know, Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games, when The Mockingjay Part 1, when she's standing there and Evie comes up to her and says, everyone's going to want to either be you, kiss you, kill you, or be you, you know. And, yeah, that's kind of Trump was everybody wanted to, you know, a lot of people wanted to be him. Some people wanted to embrace him or people wanted to just rub him out. But you couldn't ignore him. And so he was a ratings magnet. And now that, I mean, who wants to see Joe Biden go out and call Kamala Harris president or fumble through a speech or not answer questions again or tell lies about whether he was arrested during the civil rights movement? I mean, nobody wants that. So everybody's jumping ship. Now, so the next thing is that you had an election year along with Donald Trump and you had COVID. And both of those things caused huge spikes. First of all, you had people home during the lockdowns. Everybody's at home, so what do? They got the TV on, probably while they're sitting there working. I mean, most people have more than one TV now, and you're sitting there working. Maybe you've got the TV on, you're listening. I mean, they had more time to spend time in front of the TV trying to find out more about COVID, which was a waste of time since nobody knew what they were talking about. Nobody. Now, there were a few people that were more accurate than others, but there's enough confusion on COVID to go around to the point that you can't know. Denise got on me yesterday because I compared the COVID scientists to meteorologists, that neither one of them know what the heck's going on. And she said I was being too hard on the weather people. And I received that. It's not true, but I receive it. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. I needed to back off the weather people a little bit. And by the way, Brian Sumner is not a meteorologist. He's a radio guy. He's a producer. I don't even know what your title is. What's your title? At his
music
radio.
Director.
Music director. Okay. So you're responsible for, like, when I listen to his radio, you put the music in there?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're a jam up music director.
Thank
in fact,
you.
Did Rob tell you that I sent him a text telling him how good the music mix is? If he didn't tell you, I did.
Okay.
And I'll
thank
start
you.
Well, I'll start sending them to you.
Okay.
Too. So anyway.
Hold on, before we leave the weather, can I just point out the delicious irony that they named this winter storm Izzy, which is the name of my third daughter and is very, very appropriate.
Is that right? Is she kind of a winter storm?
She's a winter storm, man.
Yeah. Well,
her last night that they named this storm after her, and you couldn't measure her smile, man. It was too big to measure.
Oh,
She just loved that.
Yeah.
She just got delight.
She liked that. Okay. The other thing is streaming platforms. And that's the future. I mean, let's face it, the networks, television, they're all looking into the abyss, just like basically CDs were looking into the, just like cassettes looked into the abyss of CDs, and CDs looked into the abyss of streaming. Now you've got, you know, the networks and cable is, and DirecTV and satellite TV and all these things. Now, we're still going to have satellite TV probably at our house because our internet is so terrible.
But your kids aren't.
No. They don't. None of them have it.
Right.
None of them.
Right.
They subscribe to the streaming platforms that they want. Like, they've got Netflix and Disney Plus. Well, with Disney Plus, you've got ESPN and Hulu. What else do you need? I mean, television is garbage. There's nothing on television except Blue Bloods and maybe, you know, a couple of shows that are current that you might want to watch. But then if you watch them, you have to endure the vulgar commercials that are in between. So, no, I mean, nobody wants to do that. So they'd just really rather have control over what they get to watch.
Yeah, I have Apple TV and Amazon Prime.
There you go.
And I only have Apple TV because it's got Tiny Planet. And that's all, literally all I've watched off Apple TV.
Well, we've got Disney Plus, and I was only going to get it to watch the Beatles thing. And then they started the Book of Boba Fett, and I can't. I mean, what am I going to do?
Did you rewatch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus? Is that what you?
Oh yeah. I'm up to the end of the first season, so I'm going to go back and watch it again. I mean, and Hawkeye. I mean, that was an incredible miniseries. It's better than what they're putting out in the theaters. When it comes to Marvel, I mean, the storyline is compelling, and it's a moral storyline.
Could I watch it? Does it have anything
absolutely
that would keep me from watching
it? No, you
it?
Could watch Hawkeye.
Could I watch
absolutely
it with my kids?
Mandalorian you could watch.
Huh.
Now, it's a little bit of, you know, well, Star Wars violence is different
it's
a totally
it's not body
different
parts
thing.
Flying. It's just
exactly
battleships flying.
That's right.
You know?
Now, you got a couple of creatures disintegrating and stuff, but for the most part, no, I guess they didn't have four-letter words in a galaxy far, far away.
That's good.
Because there's really no language issue.
Huh.
It's just incredible stories with very interesting characters. And go figure, that's what people want when they want to veg out.
I mean, there's a market segment that wants that for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's really good. So that's the problem. Cable's going to have to figure out. Now, Fox News is investing tons of money. They've got like a mother streaming service now for Fox News, and then they got Fox News Nation, and they're doing a lot of Tucker Carlson stuff over on Fox News Nation because he's their, right now, he's their hottest commodity.
It's just Fox Nation, I think. Is that?
Fox Nation.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You're right. Fox Nation. So they're, you know, and I don't have I'm not going to do that. I just don't, I have no interest in it. But that's where Fox News is going to go, and that's where everybody's going. That's why
CNN
Chris
has their
Wallace,
own streaming thing? Is that
oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's where Chris Wallace
that's
went.
That's where Chris Wallace went. Yeah. He's pretty much like, now, Chris Wallace, Goldberg, Steve Hayes, all those guys left Fox News when Tucker Carlson did that Patriot Purge special on Fox Nation. They just couldn't take it. They were like, we're news people, and there's some standards that we have, and this is nowhere near meeting that standard, so we're out of here.
See, but I was reading on Newsweek about this exact issue about the cable ratings plunge, and it says that I thought it was a pretty good insight. They said that one of the reasons for the decline was because these networks are siloing themselves and alienating themselves from many audiences. Built their recent models on political combat or pitting one political party or politician against another. This model might no longer be appealing to many audiences, even if it's difficult to pivot your content away from it. So it's like, it's just like you said, it's like, I love that. You have half of the people saying, I love that. Oh, no, it wasn't you. It was Corey Truex. I was listening to his podcast yesterday. Some people love it. Some people hate it. You're not going to get the people that hate it. And can you do content? Can you create content that appeals to both audiences?
Right.
I don't know if you can anymore.
That's like if you've got a business, and I'm thinking of a business right now, and I'm not going to mention them, but they put up very controversial conservative politically charged statements on their sign. Now, I guarantee you, they're only getting one type of customer. Because they're, if I'm a progressive or even a liberal, and I'm looking for this particular service, and I'm driving along, I'm not going in there.
Nope.
Just like I wouldn't go in, you know, Starbucks decided to put up a sign that said, you know, all Christians ought to be thrown back to the lions. I'm not going to go in there and buy their product. So I don't get, I just don't get it. I don't get these companies. I don't, why would you want to alienate a sizable portion of your potential audience if you're in business to be successful?
Yeah.
You're listening to His Radio Talk, and this is Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Our number is 888-660-9535, and here are your hosts, Austin Barker and Dr. Tony B.
Okay, I invited a bunch of people from my Facebook page to like and check out our Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin page. And a lot of you did, so thank you for that. And for those of you who didn't get an invitation yesterday, be aware, you might get one today. I have many friends on Facebook, so it's going to take me a while to get around to everybody, but I'm going to end up inviting everybody to check out our Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin page. All right, last year, Loudoun County, I mean, how much drama can you shove into one county in America? I mean, I think we've seen that with the Loudoun County School Board case. So many bad things happened here that it caused the governor's race in Virginia to go to a Republican, which was highly unexpected. But it was largely due to these things that I'm going to describe to you. This perpetrator, who is 15 years old, so we don't use his name, he's a minor, was sentenced yesterday to a facility for treatment until he's 18 years old, at least, and then he was put on the sex offender registry for the rest of his life. And there were cheers in the courtroom yesterday for this. He can't be this is about as much as the judge could do. I mean, you can't, as a juvenile offender, The judge, this was the first time that this judge had ever put a juvenile offender on the sex registry list, which is permanent. You don't get off of that. So, and listen to this. This was interesting. The judge said in the case that the psychosexual report on the offender that she read was the most disturbing that she had ever seen. She said, "It scared me. It scared me for you, and it scared me for society," talking to the perpetrator. So, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Now, Scott Smith was in the courtroom yesterday, and so was Buddha Babari. Buddha Babari is the prosecutor who allowed this 15-year-old to get out. See, on Wednesday, we found out that he had been in the system for a rape previously. And this prosecutor let him out. And then Loudoun County let him come to school. He rapes a girl, Scott Smith's daughter. And then Loudoun County, instead of doing what they should have done, which is let everybody know what happened, they covered it up and transferred him to another school. So he shows up at this other school with an ankle monitor and a girl, you can imagine. I mean, I don't know what this guy looks like, but, you know, maybe he's charming and handsome and all those things. But this girl sees the ankle monitor. She feels compassion for him. So she tries to reach out to him since he's got an ankle monitor, not knowing that the reason he's got an ankle monitor is because he's a rapist twice. And so he takes advantage of her and rapes her. And the Loudoun County School Board is directly responsible for that. Well, indirectly responsible for that action. Now, The story, as they say, doesn't end there. You know, you may have heard that the Loudoun County School Board hired an independent investigation to come in and look at how they handled all this. They've announced that they're not going to release the results of that investigation. It's just going to go away. Not going to tell anybody. Investigation's complete. But it was just for them. It was just internal so that they could make whatever changes they think are necessary, but they're not going to release the results of the investigation. So what happens now? Well, the people in Loudoun County have the ability to vote these clowns off the school board. And if they don't vote every one of them off the school board, then they deserve everything they get. The other thing that could happen is Glenn Youngkin, who's the new Republican governor and the new attorney general, what is his name? Mark Herring. They're talking about pushing laws through the legislature that would prevent something like this from happening again. Although I don't know why you have to have a law to prevent this from happening. You know, some things that happen, the solution is not to pass another law. The solution is to put moral people in charge of the laws that we already have. Because I don't know how another law is going to make it. Loudoun County, they didn't care about the laws that are on the books. They didn't care about these students. They cared about transgender policy. And the reason that they would not allow this information to get out about the rape, and they shipped this kid who was very troubled off to another school so he could rape again, is because they didn't want their transgender policy to be undermined. That's how committed these progressives are to radical change. It doesn't matter who it hurts. It doesn't matter what it costs. They want it at any cost, which is just evil. I mean, I don't know what else to call this. It's evil, and they should be held accountable. This prosecutor should be held accountable. The prosecutor ran on a platform of leniency in sentencing and in the way that crimes get prosecuted. And this is what it leads to. You're lenient. You think that prosecutor didn't see the psychosexual report or the psychosexual background of this kid before she decides that he can just be released from custody and is free to go back to school and to commit these crimes again? I mean, I'm stunned by this. I don't understand why everybody's not in jail. I don't understand. If I'd have been on that bench yesterday, I'd have said, okay, young man, you're confined until your 18th birthday. You're on the sex registry. You're going to have people agree that you're no longer a menace to society before you're out roaming around anymore. Okay, Miss Prosecutor, you're going to jail for not being willing, for being culpable in two rapes that happened after the first one happened. And Loudoun County School Board members, you're all going to share a cell with her because every one of you are responsible indirectly for the third rape that took place when you decided to cover up the second one. Every stinking one of them ought to be locked up somewhere. And I know that that's radical and, oh, calm down. You know, you listen to what you're saying. No, this is crazy stuff. Looney Tunes. It's not protecting the people. Thoughts?
Yeah, How do you live in a world gone morally insane?
Yes, that's a good question, because that's exactly what this is, pure moral insanity. And you know, Scott Smith, bless his heart, written, and I'm not talking about bless your heart, I'm talking about bless his heart, because half the people in Loudoun County, his business has been affected by this. They wouldn't go, the progressives stayed away from his business, wouldn't have anything to do with him. And what does he get for his trouble? He gets arrested for protesting his school board, and he gets accused of being a terrorist. Gene, go ahead. We got about a minute. Gene?
This up, yeah. About terror. I was going to bring this up. What effect will this have on the Biden administration's position with Merrick Garland pursuing parents as terrorists in this particular matter? Do you think that's going to go?
None.
I'm really curious to see your...
It's not going to have it. Well, look, it's not going to have any effect because the Biden administration doesn't care. The facts, the atmosphere, the moral breakdown, they're not concerned about any of that. They're going to continue to push these left-wing policies because that's all they got. So now it depends on the people. You know, the people are going to have to demand that this stuff be rescinded. You know, we were going to talk about this today. I don't know if we're going to get to it because of the time. We've got two interviews coming up, but... You know, we now know that the Secretary of Education requested a letter from the school, this national school board. So this whole idea of parents being terrorists at school board meetings was instigated by the Biden administration. That is not up for debate anymore. That's what happened. And so that ought to be used against them. Gene, thanks for the call. We're out of time. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour. We've got Senator Josh Kimbrell calling in at 8:05. And we have Sheila Miller, who's going to stop by the studio and talk about a book. It's a fascinating book. It's about her experiences as a sidewalk counselor at an abortion clinic and how she struck up a relationship with an abortion worker on the other side of the fence.